It's a blessing to be with you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services. Thank you to those who have led in our service this morning. It is always a blessing to be able to worship together with those who love our Heavenly Father, love our Lord, and that we do it in spirit and in truth. I appreciate especially this morning the words from David Newberry as he stood before us and talked to us about giving specifically, of course, the Lord's Supper as well. But in his giving, he talked about Elijah, and I thought for a moment he's going to talk about my lesson today. But he went to chapter 18. I'm going to be in 1 Kings 17, but it is going to be about Elijah today. You know, in his talk, David's lesson to us, or reminders to us as we prepared our minds to give, you know, he was using all three of those examples to remind us that God will provide, that God is in control. And today's lesson is going to deal with that. Today's lesson is a lesson that I have loved for a long time. But as I reread back through 1 Kings recently, specifically in chapter 17, it was so fitting for our theme because everything that's done is based on the Word of the Lord. This year, as a church family, as leadership has set before us all, we decided to take for a theme from Psalm 119:105, the verse, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We want everyone to be in the Word of God. We want us to be in the Word of God so much that it helps us in times of joy and it helps us in times of sorrow. It helps us when the cupboard is full, and it helps us when the bin is dry. And so today, I want us to think about the truth that's found in the Word of God. I want us to think about what God reminds us of through His Word. And the promise, just like David reminded us earlier, through our faithfulness, His faithfulness to us, and our, in return, faithfulness to Him, our bins will never run dry. 1 Kings chapter 17, please, verses 6 through 16 with me. "The ravens brought him, being Elijah, bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up." Boy, we've had moments like that, haven't we? There's a famine all around us, it seems. There's trouble all around us, it seems. And then all of a sudden, we see a light at the end of the tunnel, and then that dries up. Then that goes wrong. It's the way the devil works, isn't it? He wants things to go bad. Verse 7 again, "It happened after a while, he's drinking from this brook, it dries up, because there had been no rain in the land." But note this, "Then the word of the Lord came to him." Now remember, as I was speaking to you on Wednesday night, there was a time when God spoke directly to His prophets. And those prophets then spoke the word to God's people, warned them and everything else, talked about Jesus coming and such. And so Elijah, being a prophet of God, certainly had the abilities. God used him to speak directly to him. Now, God doesn't speak directly to you and me. We're not prophets today, okay? That's not a miraculous gift that we can have in our possession today. But He has the written Word. And this written Word speaks to us because this written Word is not dead. It is alive. And so as we read through the Word, I want you to understand that God is speaking it directly to Elijah, but we're reading from the written Word today. And so that same Word that Elijah is going to draw power and direction from is the same word we draw direction and power from as well. So, keep that in mind as we go through this. The word of the Lord came to him saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." Now, I want you to hear the word of the Lord that came to Elijah. Elijah's in the midst of a famine. And so he's having birds bring food to him, and he has a brook right here that he's drinking from. Well, then all of a sudden the brook dries up. And so Elijah, being a man of God, being a faithful man of God, putting God first, as we all should as well, God still provides. So the word of the Lord reminds him, "Hey, I want you to go to Zarephath, and you're going to find there in Sidon a lady that is a widow, and she's going to provide for you." Now, Elijah, maybe, if you're like me, if he's like me, he's not like me, I'm not like him, I need to be more like Elijah. But maybe there's a chance he thought in the back of his mind, widows usually aren't very wealthy. You know, so how is she going to provide for me? But we're going to see how this story unfolds, right? So he arose and went to Zarephath. I love that he, even if he thought that, it didn't keep him. He did it. He went. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." Remember, the man's thirsty. The brook has dried up, and now he's traveled to Zarephath. He didn't ask for a gallon, right? He didn't ask for a jug. He said, "Will you please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink?" And as she was going to get it, I appreciate her doing that, right? Don't you? He called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." Now, he didn't ask for a loaf. He didn't even ask for a good slice. He asked for a morsel. That's how hungry and thirsty this man of God was. Now, here's where the story really opens up. So she said, verse 12, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in," now listen to this, "and prepare it for myself and my son." This is so sad. "That we may eat it and die." This was all she had. We talked about that widow with two mites. She gave all she had. This widow did not have anything. She had a little flour, a little oil, and she's getting ready to make a fire to bake it, to make this bread. She and her son will eat this bread, and that will be all they have. And then they will die. She had come to grips with that in her mind, in her heart. I don't know how she convinced her son of that. Maybe she didn't even tell him. But he's probably able to understand that we don't have a whole lot. Verse 13. "And Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel.'" Now listen, I love that. Elijah, I don't know all the fine details. I don't know all the encounter. But chances are she recognized him as a man of God who had some abilities. Perhaps she would not have even brought him any water or been willing to do that if she didn't recognize that. But here's what you need to know. Even if she did recognize Elijah had some power, he had something about him, some type of glow, some type of aura about him, that he was a man of God, he didn't say, do this because I'm telling you to. He said, do it because this comes from the Lord God Almighty. You see, Elijah lived on the Word. He lived by the Word. And he delivered that Word to others. And so he says, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. Now remember where his word came from. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to what? The word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. When I tell you, the word of God will keep you alive. Certainly we mean spiritually. But certainly it can even keep us alive physically. You see, this lady, this widow, had come to grips in her heart of hearts that this is our last meal. We won't have anything else. She didn't, you know, we don't have that she blamed God. We don't have that she blamed anything else. She just come to the reality of it. We're going to eat this one last meal and that be it. But the word of the Lord spared her and her son's life. But not just the word of the Lord, her obedience to the word of the Lord. The obedience we have to the written word of God will save our souls, or our souls will starve to death. See, folks, it's as simple and as plain as we see it written before our eyes. It's not rocket science. It's not complicated. I have the word of the Lord. It is capable of saving my soul. In this case, it's capable of saving her physical life, but it's capable and willing to save our soul. But we must read it. We must obey it. What do we learn? What can we learn? Beyond all of that, what can we learn from this precious word? Number one, God's word promises He will provide. We think this is a story about the widow. Maybe you read it and you think, this is a great story about this widow and her son. And it is a story about the widow. Don't let me say that it's not. But it's as much a story about God providing for Elijah than it is for this widow. If you go back and look at verses 1 through 5 of 1 Kings, you know that they're in that famine. And then verse 6, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. He drank from the brook. Then verse 9, as we read earlier, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to what? Provide for you. God had promised Elijah that he'd be provided for. But do you know he's also promised us that we'll be provided for? Where is that found? Matthew 6:33, one of the references. Jesus, right there in the middle of the greatest sermon ever preached. Matthew chapter 6. He's talked about how we can't serve two masters. We'll be loyal to one and despise the other, etc. And there he goes and he talks about, of course, he's talking about how man can should not love God and riches, God and mammon, God and wealth. But then he talks about the birds of the air. How, if even today, if we observe the birds of the air, that they'll go and gather sticks and straw and other things that they did not make. They didn't go and make the sticks. They just went and gathered them and they made themselves a house. Then they go and they gather worms and different insects and different things like that, different crumbs and such. They didn't make any of that. But they have food to not only feed themselves, but their offspring. And then he talks about the lilies of the field, how beautiful they are, how the colors that they pick out, the way they're adorned and everything else. Solomon, as wealthy as he was, remember silver was worthless in Solomon's kingdom. He could add any clothes, any fabric, anything he wanted. He said, Solomon was not adorned such as the lilies of the field. And so there Jesus is preaching that sermon and he reminds the people that are listening, he says, if God is going to take care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, Terry's words now, don't you think he's going to take care of you guys? But then he goes on to say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things right there, food, clothing, shelter, necessities of life. Now, in that, he didn't say we'd have giant mansions or even though I'm sure we do compared to the rest of the world. He didn't say we'd be wearing designer clothes or eating the choice cut of meat every night. But he said you'd have food, clothing, and shelter. You will be provided for. But if we do not know the Word, we do not obey the Word, then those things we have to hope that we one day have. We have to hope that someday we can have food, clothing, shelter, those kinds of things. But there's other things in life that He's promised us that He'll provide for us. You see, we live in a time of high stress. We live in as a counselor, you know, in our studies for that, we learned that the stress that Americans are under today, they would need some type of inpatient health care if it were in the 50s. The levels from the 50s to now, it's just extraordinary. It's just out of this world, the stress levels that we're under. Now, a lot of that's because of our own fault. We want and we keep up and try to do this and try to do that and everything is given to us instantly and, you know, and so there's stress, there's this, there's that, there's everything else. But you know, in the Bible, He reminds us to be anxious for nothing. But by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul wrote that from a prison cell, by the way. A man that had probably had a lot, if you think of it in our terms, to be anxious about. There's so many things in this Word that we're promised He'd provide for. Not just food, clothing, shelter, mental health. Those things of our heart that we desire that are in His will. You see, the widow in 1 Kings 17 played a major role in the providence of God working out in Elijah's life. Joshua, the great leader after Moses, in Joshua chapter 24, is addressing the Israel, perhaps for his last time. And he said, you've got to make a choice. He said, you can choose today to serve the gods on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites, etc. Or basically, he said, you can choose to serve God Almighty. And ultimately, he said, I don't know what choice you'll make. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Today, we can lay it out. We can see it in Scripture. But we have to make a choice. Am I going to choose to believe that God will provide? Am I going to choose to listen to His Word that reminds me He will provide? And we need to get in the habit of believing God will provide. We focus on the widow having very little flour, and rightfully so. But how much did Elijah have? Remember now, you go into this story, the widow who's going to provide for Elijah according to the word of the Lord, she had a little flour and a little oil to make some bread. She had some water because she was going to go get some for Elijah. But how much did he have? He had no water. He had no bread. He had nothing. Today, even in our own lives, we may have a little bit of flour. But we got to remember that no matter what, the Word teaches us God will provide. If He's at the center of your life, He's at the center of my life. He's at the center of our household's life. He's at the center of everything we do, and it's based all on this. We got to remember God will provide. Number two, what else does His Word promise or teach? His Word promises that we will have just what we need. I've already referenced Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But I want to go back and read verses 10 through 12 of 1 Kings 17. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And so she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." The widow said, "Mr. Elijah, I do not have any bread. I do not have any bread, so I cannot give you any bread." Now remember, sometimes we say, "I cannot give to you, Father, because I do not have thousands of dollars extra in my checking account. Father, I cannot give to you because I do not have my house paid for. Father, I cannot give to you because Christmas just passed and I have not paid all of that off. Father, I cannot give because I don't have a money tree growing in my front yard." Whatever reason it may be. The widow said, "I cannot give you any bread because I don't have bread." But what did she have? She had flour. She had oil. She had sticks. Flour. Oil, a fire to bake in was enough to make some, you guessed it, bread. Granted, she couldn't make much bread. But does it really matter how much bread we can make? You may not have all those things I mentioned. I don't have all those things we just mentioned. We may not have thousands of dollars left over every month. We may not have our house paid off and no bills and be debt free. Be a great goal though, right? We may not have money trees growing in our yard. But don't we have just what we need? Doesn't God's Word promise that we're going to have what we need? Now listen, we also have a lot of the things we want. We may not have everything we want, but we live in an abundance. And so today, as I think about it, and listen, the eldership, and this is not a giving story, it's just a reminder. The eldership laid out a challenge for us this year. And that challenge was agreed upon by men who serve as deacons, as ministry leaders, and leaders in the church as we met together and we talked about a budget. You know, hey, I know it's the first of the year, but we haven't made it one week yet. And we might look at it and think, well, we're in a recession. Or we're in an all-time high in inflation. And listen, I know groceries have gone up. Trust me, I know. Gasoline is back up. All these things. And you know, sometimes we think, well, I can't give because of this, because of that, because of this. But then we forget what this word says. Do I believe it or do I not? Remember what he said in Malachi? He said, challenge me. Challenge me. See if you can outgive me. Do we believe this book teaches us? Do we believe that God's Word promises us that we're going to have what we need? You see, it's not about the amount. It's about the attitude. This widow was part of God's providence. She used a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour, and a fire. And look at what God did. God can make amazing things happen with the little that we have as well. And that's promised through His Word. Thirdly, this morning, according to the Word of God, the written Word of God now, we are also reminded that what we have is not ours anyhow. Going back to the widow, and I'm not trying to beat her up because I admire her, I really do. But in her statement to Elijah when she said about the bread, she said, I do not have any bread. She was exactly right. Because it wasn't her bread. It wasn't her flour. It wasn't her oil. It wasn't her sticks. It all belongs to God. Deuteronomy chapter 8. You want to turn there with me? Eli read to us a moment ago from verse 18. We're not going to go all the way to verse 18, but what that verse in 17 reminds us of there is spelled out for us in verse 2, verse 3, and then 7 through 14. So I'll call them out as I read them. But Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 2. Listen to these words. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know that it was in your heart whether you would keep His commandments or not. Now verse 3. So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. We're going to come back to that verse, but keep it in mind. It's a good verse to live by. Now skip down to verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, that overflows out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Beware, verse 11. That you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses, and dwell in them, And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, lest you forget. You see, the people of Israel, we have beaten up in sermons and Bible classes a long time. But I'm concerned that sometimes we're not that much different. You see, they were in slavery, and God delivered them. He raised up Moses. We know how that story goes. They lead them through the Red Sea. Moses leads them through the Red Sea, and they get out of Egyptian bondage. They were set free from slavery. We were set free from the slavery of sin. Okay, we had a deliverer named Jesus Christ. He delivered us. Moses delivered them. But then they got into the wilderness. Now remember, it's their fault they're going to wander in the wilderness, because they're going to a promised land, a land that we just read about. All that fruit, all that resource, all that bread, we're going to eat it without scarcity, all those things. But they complained. We were better off in slavery. How sad is that, right? We were better off when the Egyptians were beating us and making us make those bricks and took the brick-making ability, all the stuff to make the bricks, the resources away from us, and we had to figure it all out. And those taskmasters, we were better off because they were thinking with their bellies, not with their brains. Isn't that the way it is with us? As long as we're full, I don't feast on this. You see, when I'm full on something else, I'm not saying that this is everybody, but this is the mindset of a lot of people. I mean, you know, we got a lot of people sick and probably traveling, but why are we not full here? Why is Sunday school not full? Why? Tell me. Because our life is good. Because I can pay my bills. I got a little money left over. I got gas in my tank. I got great things going on. I'm making a lot of money. I'm doing a lot of good. I'm doing a lot of this and that. And I forgot about this. I've forgotten about this. Well, we better be careful with that. Because here's what he said in verse 3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. When I start living by my own words and living by the words of society, and when I become a part-time Christian, I better be careful, lest you forget. You see, the Word of the Lord reminds us what we have is not ours. We must not forget that everything we have belongs to God. This makes sense, right? If I borrowed my neighbor's lawnmower, I've never done that, by the way. But if I did, I would give it back to them. Why? Because it's not mine. Well, if it belongs to God anyhow, shouldn't I be giving it back? It's not just money. It's my time. It's my effort. It's my heart. It's my mind. It's my soul. It's my all. Finally, this morning, when we obey God's Word, our bins will never run dry. Verses 12 through 16, we don't have to go back and read it. I mean, it's a beautiful story though, isn't it? It's a beautiful story He said, you bake that cake for me first. That was really her putting God first, right? You bake this cake for me first, and then for yourself and your son. And obey the Word. Obey the Word by putting Him first. Your Ben, until there is rain on this earth again, will never run dry. Can you imagine going in there and they baked up some of the best bread you've ever had? Maybe the Eichner's bread recipe, or maybe those O'Charlie's rolls, or whatever it may be, you know. And her and her son, for the first time in their life, they got full. But it comes the next day, and she's like, oh, now we're hungry again. Did she have in her mind, did she think, oh, maybe we shouldn't have eaten so much? Maybe we shouldn't have eaten all that bread yet? Shouldn't have baked all that bread yesterday? Because, you know, and then she goes and she looks, though, and there's a full bin of flour. It's overflowing. There's a full jar of oil. And so she bakes again, and she goes back and bakes again, and there it's full again. Because she obeyed the Word of the Lord. When we obey God's Word, our bins will not run dry. Now, it's not just a financial thing. However, it is a financial thing. But do we trust Him with everything? Do I trust Him with the decisions I make every day? Do I trust Him with my children? Do I trust Him with... We could go on and on. Am I obeying the Word of the Lord? Am I living on the promises that are written there? You see, this widow surrendered. This widow trusted. And you know what she did? She baked that bread. It reminds me so much of Abraham with Isaac. He told him, God will provide. Where's the sacrifice, Father? God will provide. He's tying him up on that altar. Father, I thought you said God will provide. Where? Trust me, son, God's going to provide. He picks up the dagger. Poor old Isaac, can you imagine? Father, you told me God will provide. He will provide, son. And he goes to slay him. And all of a sudden, the angel stops his arm. And there's the ram in the thicket. Do we really have that kind of faith? The kind of faith that we've got one meal left. And a man who I don't really know, even though I probably recognize he's from the Lord, he comes to me and he says, by the way, Elijah didn't say, give me all the bread. He said, break it for me first. But now her and her son's going to have a smaller portion. And she baked that bread. And she gave it to Elijah. Do I have that kind of faith? What's in your bin? What's in your bin? Is your bin overflowing today? Maybe, hey, there's a chance your bin's overflowing and you hadn't picked this book up. Because that's the way society is. That's the way the world is. That's the way the devil is. He wants to take your attention off of this book, off of worship, off of prayer, off of everything, and put it on you. And put it on selfishness. So maybe your bin's overflowing today and you haven't even picked the book up and you've just been part-time and all this stuff. And listen, I'm happy that you've been provided for, but here's the question you need to answer. What are you going to do when that bin runs dry? Because every promise Satan is promising is empty. But every one our Lord promises is empty. will come true. Today, how's your faith? Today, Jesus Christ has come. And He's saying, before you do that for you, do this for me. Surrender your life to me, and your bin will never run dry. Today, will you surrender? Will you come home? As together we stand and sing.